Welcome to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant Community Church to become influential leaders. As always, I'm your host, Nick Petrick, and joining me today is Matt Paddock, our teaching pastor. Matt is also the director of our inviting department, and I like to think he plays a big role in creating what all of you see on Sunday mornings, just really in everything involved in Sunday mornings. So, Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, happy to be here. Should be fun.
So, most of you probably don't know this. Some of you might not care, but Matt and I have actually known each other forever, for a really long time. In fact, we played together on a softball team probably almost 20 years ago. We went to a marriage conference when first year that Amy and I were married.
That was the first year?
Yeah. That was actually my parents, one of our wedding gifts was to go to that conference. So that would have been 17 years ago.
Was that A Night to Remember? Is that what it was called?
Yeah. Or Weekend to Remember?
Weekend to Remember.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Remember, that's the honeymoon.
That was a different thing. Yeah. And then we did Bible studies together from some of that same material or whatever after that. And so we've known each other for a long time. And I also know that a few different times Matt's taken credit for being the reason why I'm here at Relevant.
Well, reason is maybe an overstatement.
But yeah, I know when Ronnie was looking for someone to fill my position here at Relevant, I know Matt put my name out there. And so Matt, we go way back. Just enjoy the fact that you get to be here on this podcast with me today. And I appreciate our relationship that we have.
Yeah, I really actually don't know if I should say you're welcome for that or I'm sorry for that, but glad to have you here.
Some days it's one, some days it's the other, you know? So, but the reason why I asked Matt to be on this podcast is none of those reasons. Actually, the reason why I chose Matt to be on this podcast was something that I saw back in November, or I guess it would have been October.
October.
Matt, you had a series that you taught all the weeks for You're Not the Boss of Me. Matt, I would definitely say this was all the series that you've done, all the sermons that you've given, this was my favorite.
Awesome.
People may say that, and you might not even have any clue what to think about that. But for me, it was my favorite because of how you challenged me personally. You challenged me to think through how I let my emotions be the boss of me.
Awesome.
And really let the Holy Spirit do some work in me that I wasn't prepared for. And so I knew when you were giving those messages that you were doing something during those messages that was really important.
Awesome.
Something that we need in terms of leadership. To be influential leaders, we need what you were doing. And honestly, it comes down to your vulnerability. I think back to, I don't remember what week it was, but I think the title was Envy. The Envy Week, and you talked a little bit about one of our good friends that we both have known for a long time, Tyler, and I'll just be honest, you had me worried that I was the one who made the comment to you about Tyler.
No, you weren't.
Because I'm like, I know the guy, and I know I've said things like that before. That series was great. You did a really good job of being vulnerable, and it did a work in my life. And so I wanted to bring you on here and just have you share a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that vulnerability is knowing you for a while and knowing me, and it's not easy for any of us.
Yeah.
It's something that we have to make some choices to do. And so just, you know, I wanted to start off by just asking you, you know, really before we even get into any hows or anything specific, just what made you decide to be vulnerable during that series?
Well, honestly, it came out of the fact that this was, you know, I mentioned in the very first week of the series, actually, I think it was the second week, I've forgotten the first week, but that this was repurposed from another sermon series from a church that we are partnered with, and I took a lot of the content from that. And obviously, anytime I do that, I try and make it my own. And but there was, you know, for this one, there was just so much that I was using that that kind of came from the content that I was hearing from somebody else. And the best way for me to take that message or any message that I'm repurposing and make it feel like my own and make it impactful for the people that are listening is to see where I can. Where I can bring some vulnerability or some stories of my own, excuse me. And so it wasn't a pre-planned thing. It was, we get to the Envy Week and I'm going through it and I just didn't have a story. Like as I'm planning out my message, I'm like, I want to bring something personal to this, but I didn't have anything. And then out of nowhere, like the Tyler story and how that has impacted my life came to my mind. I started writing it out. And when you're preparing a message, there's kind of two ways to be vulnerable. It's like you can be vulnerable in a way that's comfortable and easy and, you know, almost like a farce, if you will, like just barely touching the surface of vulnerable. And then you can be real. And once you hit the real side of vulnerability, especially in front of people on stage, it's like you can feel the difference in not only what it does in the crowd and in the people listening and their reaction to you, but in the way that the sermon then becomes part of who you are as the preacher, as the person giving the message, it just changes everything. And so what made me decide to be vulnerable was a desire to make the sermons my own, a desire to help them connect with people on a personal level for them, but then also to allow it to be something that was very personal for me. The more personal it is for me, the more impact that it's had on me in my past, the better I can preach the sermon. So,
yeah. Yeah. You know, when I first asked you to do this, I had the word humility rather than vulnerability. And I started looking up some definitions for humility, and it was like thinking very low of yourself or thinking less of yourself than other people. And honestly, I changed it from humility to vulnerability because I think when we think of humility, we think, that person's a humble person.
Yeah.
And God just didn't create me that way. Or that's just a lot harder for me than it is for them.
Yeah.
And the thing that I like about vulnerability is that the term is that we all can do it.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
It's something that we all are capable of, but at the same time, it's not easy. It can be very hard for us to do. I think back to your messages, and I know when you got vulnerable, you got emotional.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, definitely wasn't something that was just like, I just shared a story about myself. No big deal, you know? And so, just want to say thank you for doing that.
Well, what nobody knows is that I was actually pulling my leg hair in my pocket just to bring those two. No, just kidding.
Oh, I always think back. I don't know if you would remember it or not, but I always think back the Friends episode. Sorry, total side note. But Joey,
who's
an actor.
Or he has to learn. Yeah.
He said, he's like, how do you make yourself cry? And he said, I have a little hole in my pocket and a pair of tweezers, and I just start pulling hair. So it's like... Well, I don't think you were doing that, but anyways, so let's kind of refocus there just on vulnerability. Why is vulnerability so important to being an influential leader?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody kind of intrinsically knows on some level that whether it's humility, vulnerability, whatever phrase we're using, but it's anybody that's not willing to be vulnerable in front of the people that they're leading will quickly lose that. The ability to have true influence over them because they aren't going to see them as a real person.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to see them as somebody who they can connect with. They'll do one of two things, I think. Well, they'll either put them up on a pedestal that's so high and unachievable that they may follow, but they'll never think they can become anything like that person. Or they'll just push them aside and not really pay attention to them because they know they're not being the real person, that they're just a fake. And so I think vulnerability, it's a weird kind of balance when you're leading people too. It's like, you don't want to, if you're vulnerable all the time, then you can seem like a weak leader.
Yeah.
If you're never vulnerable, then you seem like an unapproachable, unattainable, just kind of a jerk that nobody wants to follow. And so there's somewhere in between that, that is kind of the sweet spot. I don't know that I know exactly or that I do it perfectly. But I do know that even within the team, the staff that I lead, I know it's important for me to be vulnerable and just kind of use honesty and, being clear and open with what's going on in my own life, really just kind of outside of work. That's where vulnerability comes in within my team, is just letting them know that, hey, man, I just had a rough night with my kid. You know, we got in this big old fight with my wife, like whatever it is, like, you know, within some parameters, of course, but just letting them know that I'm a real person, that I have real struggles. It really helps create that relationship with them.
Yeah, that's good. I like how you talked about how it's a hard balance of, I want to present myself as being somebody that people want to follow, knows what he's doing, doesn't make mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I'm not vulnerable, if I don't, you know, let people into what's really going on in my life, then people aren't going to want to follow me either.
Oh,
and
for sure.
You know, it can be hard to know at what time, how vulnerable should I be. So how do we recognize, like, what are some things that maybe tell us, like, I'm not being vulnerable right now. I need to be more vulnerable. I mean, you said for your message that you just were kind of putting it together and the story just kind of popped in your mind.
Yeah.
But how do we know?
Yeah, it's actually, for me, when I'm putting together a message, it's a little bit easier to tell, I think, than maybe even in day-to-day life or leadership. But, you know, in putting together a message, it can be pretty evident to me fairly quickly if I'm not giving it the vulnerability it deserves, because it'll start to feel inauthentic to me. And so even we'll just keep using that envy message as an example. If I would have had the thought of telling the story about the way envy had played a role in my life, if I would have pushed that aside because it was too sensitive, I would have spent the rest of the time trying to craft a message around something that would have felt inauthentic. And then you can imagine, you know, even if you're a public speaker or not, you can imagine then if you develop something knowing you should have done it a different way, and then you have to stand on stage and present it, it's never going to come across, never going to have the impact that it should. And so from a preaching perspective, it becomes pretty easy for me. On a leadership level, it's actually a little bit more difficult to find that balance. I mean, I was just going to bring up, like, you and I've worked here long enough, and Ronnie has been our boss long enough, and, you know, he's not on the podcast, but we can talk about him a little bit. Like, we've been able to watch him grow in kind of that balance of how he leads us, and then the times that he allows himself to be vulnerable. It just, he's gotten so much better at that over the years. For so many years, he was just kind of a hardcore go-getter, never break in front of anybody type of leader. And it makes it a little more difficult to build the closeness and relationship that I think we have now. And it's because he's been able to show some breaks every now and then, some vulnerability every now and then. It's been really awesome to see.
Yeah. So, we recognize we're not being vulnerable. What are some things that we can do to make ourselves more vulnerable? What are some things that, I don't know, I like to think of this, you know, when we're doing these podcasts, I like to think of it in terms of, like, what kind of leaders we have at Relevant. We have a lot of group leaders, T-Life group leaders, Next Gen group leaders. Obviously, it's going to, in those settings, it's going to look very different.
Yeah.
You have, you know, in the inviting department, you have team leaders. You have people that are leading teams on Sunday mornings, different things like that. And so, you know, speak a little bit just in terms of, like, more specifics with the people who are listening. Like, because obviously, you know, they're not preaching. They're whatever, you know. And so how can they make themselves more vulnerable? Or
yeah, I think the best way to, a best leader to even use as an example you brought up would be a T-Life group leader, a small group leader, because there's just, I mean, a plethora of opportunity for them to allow themselves to be vulnerable because of the context with which they're leading. And so within a, you know, a T-Life group, it's like, you know, you get the sermon questions and you're going through it with people, and it could be pretty easy, I think, to just be the facilitator of the questions and allow everybody else to talk. And but I think vulnerability plays in for those type of leaders with just, you know, making sure that when a question comes up that speaks to something that you've dealt with, man, the ability that you have to open up the floodgates of conversation within your Tea Life group by being the first one to be vulnerable in an answer to a question or within a conversation, I think is, it's immeasurable, like what you can, the impact that you can have on your Tea Life group by being the first one to step out and say something that could be, it could be difficult, it could be emotional, certainly vulnerable, to allow people to see that, that they could do the same thing. And then that conversation just keeps going like crazy. I know, you know, in leading the guest services team, you know, the leaders within my team, for guest services, they do a Sunday morning rally, every Sunday morning with the guest services teams. And I've been in the room to witness multiple times where different leaders have during that rally have shared with the entirety of guest services a situation that had impact on them, and being vulnerable in the way that it impacted them. And it does so much to kind of, to spur desire to serve more, when they can see the impact that it's had on people.
Yeah. Yeah, this is making my head go a lot of different directions and just thinking about vulnerability and importance. What do you feel like, what does it look like when we're getting vulnerability completely right? What does it look like for Relevant Community Church? Mm-hmm. What does it look like? I mean, we already kind of talked about why it's important, but why is it important for us?
Yeah, I think as a church, you know, when you see new people come in to be a part of Relevant, I think one of the things they say, they don't use the word vulnerable. They use the word real a lot. They just say, people seem really real. And I think those kind of are synonymous, at least conceptually with the way we're talking about it, of nobody is, if we're getting it right as a church, then nobody is being pretentious or pretending as if they are something that they're not, or being high and mighty and those type of things. And it's just creating an environment where when somebody new comes in, they can sense that these are real people who aren't pretending to be anything that they're not, which ultimately is really vulnerability. It's just being an open book for who you are. And so I think our church just, I think we do it really well, unknowingly. But I think going into the future, the way that we continue to do it well is not feeling any pressure to push something aside or to push something down and pretend to be something that we're not, but allowing ourselves to be seen for who we are in every conversation that we're having. So every Sunday morning when we're in the foyer and we're talking with somebody new, or we're sharing a story with somebody, or somebody's coming up to tell us what God's been doing in their heart or what God did in their heart in the gathering just that morning, like, use that as an opportunity to reply to them with, oh man, God did that same thing for me just a few years ago, and look what he's done now. And that's a vulnerability that has impact and change and brings about transformation. So,
yeah, that's really good. I hadn't really thought about that, but, you know, we talk about vulnerability. We use these podcasts to talk about topics that influential leaders need to have, and it could be really easy. The wording you said was to feel like we have to pretend to be somebody that we're not. Mm. And so it could be really easy to listen to this podcast and think, oh, I got to start being more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like especially for us guys, like, I'm a guy, I'm not vulnerable.
Yeah.
I don't want to be vulnerable. And so, oh, now I need to do it. Now I need to force it or whatever. And so, even just you talking about, you know, just being yourself, letting people see who you are, just the power of it. The other thing that you said that I wanted to point out was you used the word want. People will want to do it when, you know, they feel welcome. They feel, you know, and, you know, we always talk our definition of an influential leader. People want to follow you. People want to go where you're leading them. People are getting where you're leading them, and you're raising up and equipping new leaders. And it's different. I mean, we've been in this, ministry game for long enough, and we know when we're coercing people to do things.
Yeah.
We know when they just, they're on fire, they just love what they're doing, they want to do it, yeah. They love it, and so much of that comes out of vulnerability. So not just a great plan or just giving them a job, but, you know, there's so many things that people get into a team, get into a group for that wear off. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear people say all the time that, oh, I'm so excited because my team's doing this. And then a few months later, I can't believe I have to go serve on my team because they're not doing whatever the exact same thing is, you know? And it's like, well, it doesn't last. People don't serve on teams. People don't stay in groups. I'm just thinking back of like the T Life group experience I've had. And I was in your T Life group for years, and, your T Life group has been in each other's lives forever. It doesn't come just because there's a good plan.
Yes, yeah.
It doesn't come just, we know when we're going to meet, and so we're going to, like, it comes because people get vulnerable.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You hit on it. People don't stay on teams. They don't stay in groups. They don't do anything because the systems and the structures are perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the good ways that they get in, and certainly those things are important. But they don't stick around for that. They stick around because of relationship. And relationship really only happens through some form of vulnerability. That's the way they are built and grown. And so you got to have those.
Yeah. It's funny. I talk on this podcast a lot about the Relevant 101 and 201 team because that's one of the main teams that I lead on a weekly consistent basis. And it's funny because every time something comes up, especially when we transition from staff orientation to Relevant 101, every time something comes up, there's always questions. How are we going to do this? What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And my first response is always, I want to be the guy that knows the answer. Mm-hmm. I want to be the guy that casts the vision. I want to be, and usually I try that stuff and it doesn't work very well. And then I just kind of get real with people.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, we're on board now. Where are we going? And I'm like, wait, it seems backwards. It doesn't seem, it's one of the main things I want to get across in this podcast is just that I think typically we see vulnerability as being weak, and really it's a means to people wanting to follow us, people wanting to go there, being influential leaders. And so it's definitely something that's really important. So, we're going to wrap up this podcast pretty quickly. But I wanted to ask, you know, what are some final thoughts you have? Is there anything you want to just kind of leave us with, share, with everybody?
Yeah. I just wanted to say that I'm just super proud to be a part of the church that we're a part of. You know, we talked just a minute ago about real and vulnerable being kind of synonymous. And I have the opportunity and kind of the luxury of hearing some feedback from people who might be newer to Relevant, just from some of the places that I am, and the fact that I'm on stage, people come and talk to me pretty often. And so, and just the way people talk about our church, they just use that word so much that, man, it just felt like the people here were real people. Like they were a lot like me. They struggle with the same things I struggle with. And these are people who just been in the room a few times, and they're getting that sense from people. And so, man, I just believe that our church is the church we are because people are willing to be vulnerable, and the people are willing to portray themselves as who they really are. And I mean, it's part of our culture. We got t-shirts, right? Come as you are. It's just part of who we are.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud to be a part of that kind of church, and I wouldn't want it any other way. So.
Yeah. I think so often we think about leadership in terms of what do we do, where, obviously we have to choose to be vulnerable. So it is something that we do, but it's so much of who we are.
Yeah.
And you know, how you talk about our church and being real, it's who we are. And so it's so important. And it's leadership isn't just how I'm leading my team, but it's how I'm interacting with everybody. It's me being who I am. And so, You know, this particular topic is a little bit more general, just in terms of, okay, I need to be more vulnerable. And so I think it's really easy for us to listen to these podcasts and say, well, yeah, I want to be more vulnerable, and then go on and nothing really changes. And so, you know, I want to challenge everybody who's listening. I want to challenge myself. I might as well challenge you too, Matt, since you're in the room, you know. But I want to ask the question, what are you going to do about it? You know, I've found from a lot of different things that I've done in terms of leadership, in terms of coaching, in terms of parenting, and in terms of just life, that we may want things, but until we make a plan, nothing really happens. And so, you know, I challenge everybody this week to think, what does vulnerability look like for you in the group that you lead, in the team that you lead? What would it look like for you to be vulnerable? You know, I love that Matt's here, because we all saw Matt be vulnerable on stage, saw what it looked like. And so I would love it if, you know, we have a great example. And so I would love it if we all just thought, for my context, for me and my leadership, what does it look like? And then what am I going to do about it? And answer those two questions, and then do it. Have the courage to step out, follow through, and so, you know, make your plan and then execute your plan. And for some of us, being vulnerable might have a really specific, I need to tell my team this specific thing. For others, it might mean, I need to slow down. I need to listen, and I can't be vulnerable if I don't know my team, if I don't know how to be, like, yeah. I can't just go in and, hey, everybody, this is what happened to me.
Yeah.
That's not really good leadership. You know, we have to think in terms of how is our vulnerability going to help our team, our group? How's it going to impact our leadership? So do the work, take the steps, and really think through yourself and your situation, make a plan, and then follow through on the plan. So Matt, enjoyed having you here.
Thank you.
I really love serving with you
here
at Relevant. I love that we have a history, that we go back. I love just knowing that you're somebody that I trust. You're somebody that I can count on. And I love that even after all these years, you're someone who still challenges me.
Yeah, that's amazing. I appreciate that. It means a lot. And now, like, I love what you're doing too. I know this isn't the love fest here, but what you're doing with Relevant Leader Monthly and the different things to develop our leaders is awesome. And I can see the impact it's having on our church. So good job.
Thanks. Thanks. Well, as always, leaders, make sure to follow the Relevant Leader Monthly on whatever platform that you're listening to, so you can get a notification when the podcast is available every month. We post a new podcast the last Friday of every month, so go look for it, go find it, listen to it, do the work to make yourself a better leader. And don't forget, again next month, listen to the podcast for another conversation to help all of us become influential leaders.